This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
As we experience freezing temperatures, and we reflect and we see those who are suffering here and around the world, many children who froze to death in Gaza, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make them intercessors for their parents, the many brothers and sisters who are struggling and suffering in different ways around the world, we also see at the same time the burning rage for justice because of these man-made atrocities. The burning desire is simultaneous. As you witness people freezing to death, you also see people being burned alive. You also see bombs vaporizing families and buildings. Just in the last 9 days, 10 days of this year alone, this calendar year, over 100 children were killed just in Gaza. Over 100 children already. And we are still at the beginning of this year, the onset, and those are the ones we know about. What about the parents and the grandparents, the elderly? What about the sick and the handicapped and those who are suffering and struggling in various ways? And what about extending that pain and injustice to other lands and other places? When we see what's happening, especially when it comes to the burning alive of families and the burning alive of individuals and the burning of cities and the burning of towns and the rubbles that you see in Gaza, and sometimes you feel that there's some despair in some people when they see this. There's a loss of hope, complete loss of hope, and I mean here and around the world. When they witness something this devastating, how can there be such evil, satanic, barbaric injustice, and yet it still has not been stopped? And it raises a number of issues, a number of thoughts, a number of angles for us to take benefit from today, inshallah ta'ala. Amongst them is that no matter how many fires burn around the world, no matter how bad the fires of injustice are, we have to always have the light and also the burning desire for us to continue to persevere, to build, to protect, to prevent, to eliminate harm, to reduce harm in all of its forms in your personal capacity, with your family, in your community, and to build long-term as well. And as we witness what's happening with wildfires in different parts of the world, and the wildfires of LA, the worst in the city's history, of course, when you see something like this, natural disasters in general, from an Islamic lens, should be reminders. In general, the natural laws that Allah created for this world, and they operate in ways we don't understand at times, and we seek to discover, we seek to try to understand. But every now and then, a particular region of the world, and today we are all connected, so the news is live, and everyone is a witness, and everyone receives these signs. The natural disasters have so many lessons we can take in terms of your personal humility towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Who are you as a human being? Who are we as civilizations? Who are we as nation states? So those who think their advanced infrastructure and military and technology, see it wiped out overnight, see it burned alive in front of their eyes, it's painful. You see floods and you see hurricanes and you see disasters of different types and tsunamis and earthquakes. May Allah protect us all and grant us afia. And within these observations, no doubt whatsoever, we are reminded that no matter how much Allah gives you of this world and how extended your blessings are, that you are fragile and you are in need of Him. We are always in need of the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ya ayyuhan nasu, O mankind, antumul fuqara'u ila Allah. It is you who stand in need of Allah. Wallahu huwa al-ghaniyul hamid. And Allah is self-sufficient, most praised. No matter how advanced your worldly state is, remember the past nations that were more advanced than you. Remember those who were taken overnight. Remember those who experienced different types of loss, good and bad, amongst the believers and amongst disbelievers, amongst the righteous and amongst the criminals. So when wildfires spread, there is no doubt one of the thoughts on many people's mind that has been shared and will continue to be shared around the world in times like this is the disparity. The fact that a nation state with so much wealth could claim we don't have enough funding to take care of homelessness, economic inequality, corruption, and preventing certain types of disasters or reducing the harm from these disasters, taking preventative measures, and simultaneously those corrupt, bought-out, satanic politicians are willing to continue to send bombs and ammunition to burn alive innocent children and parents in Gaza, to burn alive people in different parts of the world, dropping bombs as though the only thing that runs the world are the military-industrial complex affecting this nation and others. When you see this, you see a very obvious type of neglect but deception. And how many people in the world have been brainwashed, deceived by their own politicians because of the stories and the narratives that they share. Their own politicians sell them out, are willing, because they are bought out, are willing to do whatever it takes to obey their masters and kill innocent people around the world so they can hold on to their own political power or proximity to power or to make money or whatever it may be. And at the same time, convince their citizens in that particular nation state, we don't have enough funding for the thing that you desire. They, these other politicians, this other party, are deceiving you into thinking that money is something we have access to. And in reality, we already know this as Muslims. We've seen the exposing of this hypocrisy, these double standards, this deep moral structural inconsistency. And of course, as we observe something like this, we find that the pain that people are going through is not something we want. We have many innocent people affected by natural disasters. We pray for them. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect them. We ask for those who are killed, especially, you know that there are many Muslims affected by this as well, Muslims or non-Muslims. We ask Allah to accept them as shuhada. And for those who survived, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to guide them to that which is best. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make them grateful for their blessings. Of course, not everyone is innocent. Not everyone affected by something difficult is innocent. So a plague, for instance, could affect a group of people. And we pray in general for that group of people, as is our Islamic perspective. The Prophet ﷺ tells us, however, that for those who are evil, it could be a punishment. And for those who are innocent, it is a mercy, meaning what? A wiping out of their sins, a type of shahada. And so some of the Sahaba, they asked, when there's a punishment that affects an entire nation or civilization or group of people, are they going to be affected even while there are righteous amongst them? As-salihun, the righteous, the believers? Yes. And there are many ahadith about this. But the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says in one of the famous narrations in the Musnad of Imam Ahmad, yes, there are righteous amongst them. They are taken by Allah's mercy. In other words, where they end up in the afterlife is a place of mercy, of forgiveness, of a raising of ranks. Even though the experience of how they left this world was simultaneous and equal to those who were committing evil. And so sometimes it may be a natural disaster, but ultimately, any time there is injustice and oppression and darkness and harm and pain, we remember the saying of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam when he said, اتقوا الظلمة, beware of injustice, فإن الظلمة ظلمات يوم القيامة. For injustice is darknesses on the Day of Judgment. Injustice, ظلمات, it is multiple forms of darkness on the Day of Judgment. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us from any kind of injustice, whether we are on the giving end or the receiving end. Allahumma ameen. And of course, as Muslims, we know we have a responsibility. We have a moral compass. We have objective truth and guidance. We are required to never turn a blind eye to anyone who is innocent, to any cause that requires our attention, to anything that requires us to address some kind of structural or immediate issue of justice or injustice. The fires of this world, however, are nothing compared to the fire of the next. A concept and a reality that is misunderstood by many people in this world, and sometimes even by Muslims. The Sahaba, when they heard that there is a fire in the afterlife that's more severe than the fire of this world, and you know how severe the fire of this world is, may Allah protect us all, they said, it's hot as it is, Ya Rasulullah. And he said, the fire of the afterlife is 70 times hotter than the fire of this world. And the number 70 here could be mubalagha. It could be to imply that there's a large number, and it doesn't have to be exactly 70. The same way that 70 or 70,000 or 40,000 or 40, these numbers are used oftentimes in classical Arabic. They're not always literal numbers. But the fire of the afterlife is not something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us is metaphoric. He did not tell us it's something that doesn't yet exist. And he didn't tell us that it's only there to scare us, that the issue of the hellfire should cause fear and the only thing you should have is fear. No, not at all. It does have and should strike a sense of fear. Because if you cannot handle the natural disasters of this world and your hand cannot come near the fire of this world, how can you disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with what's waiting in the next life? And of course, that fear is just one thing on the believer's mind, but it's not everything. When you hear وَقُودُهَا النَّاسُ وَالْحِجَارَةُ, that it's fueled by people of evil, people who committed crimes, people who abuse, people who reject the mercy of Allah that would protect them from that very same fire. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala warns us about the killing of innocent people. The killing of one person, when we say it's like the killing of mankind, means the amount of pain and the level of crime and the severity of the issue to kill one innocent person should no longer be something that you are desensitized to. When we see numbers in Gaza, when we see numbers in Sudan, when we see numbers in Yemen, when you see numbers in the US, when you see numbers in any country, oftentimes it becomes a game of numbers. How many people died in this atrocity? How many people did these people kill? What constitutes a genocide? One innocent life, one innocent person, one innocent child should be enough for us to have a raging fire that this is unacceptable. But with the passing of time and with the increased injustice that people have access to live on their devices around the world, sometimes people get desensitized. And the Prophet ﷺ one time was sitting in the masjid with the Sahaba, and they heard a very loud noise. And this is an example of a mu'jiza, a miracle, that the companions were given access to for a moment so that we could have this particular report. And we don't understand the world of the unseen. We don't understand the realm that has access between our dimension and the place in which hellfire is, but they heard a very loud sound. They heard an extremely loud sound, and they asked the Prophet ﷺ about it. And he said, this is a stone that was thrown into the fire 70 years ago. And it continued to fall until it just reached the bottom. And there are many ahadith about the number 70, again indicating a large number, and the vastness of the fire. How long would it take for a stone to fall? For 70 years falling through the hellfire? How vast is the hellfire? That it would require on the day of judgment 70,000 chains, and on every one of these chains it's pulling it, you have 70,000 angels. Again, whether it's literal or not is not the point here. The point is that hellfire is vast. It's not prepared for the people of mercy. It's not prepared for the people of righteousness. It's prepared for the worst of the worst of the worst of criminals who choose in this world the path that leads to that consequence. In the last 16 months, dealing with theological issues and philosophical doubts that people have about faith in general, whether atheists or agnostics or Muslims with doubts, I have rarely heard from, unlike all of the previous years, I have rarely heard from people saying, I don't understand why the punishment of the afterlife is so severe. Trying to grapple with the statement that Allah is ever merciful, Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim. We know this, and we say this. And the misunderstanding stems from a number of places, but why did this reduce in the last year and a half? Because as people witness injustice to this degree, live on their devices, literally on your phone, you're witnessing families telling you, reacting, crying, begging for help, making dua, and their children are dying in their arms, and the bodies are split up into pieces. It's no longer difficult for people of any faith background to imagine that there is an afterlife in which there is a severe punishment for people of evil. And that reaction stems from a place of the fitra, the natural dispositions that humans have, that there cannot be equality when people die between the good and the bad, between the just and the one who's unjust, between the killer and the killed, the abuser and the abused, the oppressor and the oppressed. They're not the same, not in the court of Allah. On what basis do you judge for you to think that these are the same? And the reason this question also decreases in times of increased injustice in the world, interestingly, is because people do turn to God in times of pain. Not everyone. It's a time that tests us. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us from amongst those who pass these tests and to protect us and our ummah and all of our innocent brothers and sisters all around the world. Allahumma ameen. If people struggle to understand the mercy of Allah, they're struggling to understand the purpose of life and why we're here. Think of it like this. We're all on a spiritual journey. That's what we were created for. And we're told that during this spiritual journey, eventually, the temporary body you have of this realm will end, will cease to function. And as your soul continues to live and it moves on to another realm, eventually this other realm will require you to navigate a number of obstacles, a number of challenges and experiences on the day of judgment. Before you can reach your final destination, there are things you will experience and see along the way. So the journey of this life in terms of spiritual growth, spiritual preparation, it's all about preparing for what's to come next. It's all about what's coming and that accountability that's tied to it, that's separated from any opportunity. And so the spiritual journey here is one in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells you what to pack and what to prepare, what to do and how to prepare, who to stay away from and who to befriend, where to go and what to do, what to stay away from as well. What is moral? What is immoral? What will help you on that day? What will make you so grateful as you stand on the day of judgment, experiencing this journey of your soul moving into another realm, thankful that you followed the instruction of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on how to prepare for the most important day of your life? It is a spiritual preparation. Now, there are people who in this world, they receive all those warnings and signs from Allah, the good, the easy, and the difficult experiences, the glad tidings and the warnings, the Jannah and the hellfire reminders. And they choose to reject preparation. They choose, for whatever reasons of arrogance or pride, to reject that. So as their soul moves into another realm, they've chosen the path that has less mercy, but it has justice. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not oppress His creation. وَلَا يَظْلِمُ رَبُّكَ أَحَدًا. That's a fact of life. We always start with the facts, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us what the facts are. He is the ever-merciful, Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim, and we mention His mercy in every single salah. Every single prayer requires Al-Fatiha and the emphasis on Allah's mercy. Every surah of the Quran, when you start to recite, aside from a tawbah, you start with what? Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. And as you recite, you come across hundreds of references to Allah's mercy. So then someone may ask from an atheistic perspective, I don't understand. Is it not unconditional mercy? And what they're misunderstanding is that Allah is not like His creation and this world is not like the hereafter. How do we understand this with a very realistic analogy? One time, Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anh, he reports that there was a woman who's running frantically looking for her baby. In the midst of a group of people, something had happened. When she found her baby boy, she took him and she began to nurse him. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he asked the companions who witnessed this, do you think that this woman would throw her baby into a fire? Do you think that a mother who loves that child, she's running frantically looking for her child, she's nurturing and nursing her child, do any of you think that mother that you just saw, with that mercy and love and passion and concern, would ever throw her baby into a fire? And they said, no, Ya Rasulullah, not if she's capable of not doing so. Meaning, if she has the ability, she would never allow something like this. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, verily, Allah is more merciful to His creation. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is more merciful to His servants than this mother is with her child. Sometimes we fail to understand how the mercy of Allah encompasses us. وَرَحْمَتِي وَسِعَتْ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ encompasses all things. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as one of the scholars said, is more merciful with His servants than the most merciful mother of this world, and Allah is the one who created her and her mercy. And in fact, in one of the beautiful narrations, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He created this world, divided His mercy, His rahmah, into 100 parts. In the very famous hadith of Muslim and Bukhari and others, 100 parts. And He brought down to this world, this realm we all experience, only one of the 100 parts of mercy. What does that mean? All of the mercy that you see exemplified by any humans or animals or jinn from the beginning of times to the end of times, all of that is one part of mercy. And Allah has reserved 99 parts of mercy for His servants for the Day of Judgment. When you talk about the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you hear this narration from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he says, if the disbeliever were to realize all the mercy that is with Allah, he or she would never despair from entering Jannah. They would think there's always hope. And if the believer were to know about the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what's waiting, they would never feel like they could be safe or secure from the hellfire. In fact, Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu an, he says in one of the most captivating narrations that on the Day of Judgment, people will continue to experience mercy. So you'll see mercy after mercy after mercy after mercy, 99 parts of mercy reserved for that day. And people will continue to see this, he says, until even in the heart of the devil, there's a quiver of hope that perhaps he will be affected by Allah's mercy and the intercession, the shafa'ah of those who intercede. Even the devil himself, when he sees how much mercy is waiting on that day. So although we say Allah is ever merciful, how do we explain this to someone who's struggling with a basic logical issue here? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy is compatible with also His justice. And if you said He's ever merciful, it's unconditional, then you're saying that He's not the just. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy is compatible and simultaneous to Him being what? Al-Hakim, the all-wise, the just who never oppresses or wrongs any of His creation. And the way that happens, the way He executes His command is with perfection and no flaw. And it's not something we can understand because we are limited with flaws. So when we talk about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He sent us prophets and messengers. He sent clear messages, and that's a manifestation of His mercy, a clear instruction and blueprint for how to live your life and how to prepare your soul for what's coming next. When your soul leaves your body and your journey continues into the next realm, are you going to be someone who is prepared for that day? Or are you going to have regrets? Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave us many examples of good deeds, righteous actions, and this is mercy. Righteous actions that will protect you on that day. Amongst them, the one who believes in Allah and the Messenger. Amongst them, the one who fasts a single day for the sake of Allah. مَنْ صَامَ يَوْمًا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ بَعَدَ اللَّهُ وَجْهَهُ عَنِ النَّارِ سَبْعِينَ خَرِيفًا. Whoever fasts one day for the sake of Allah. Just one day. What about an entire Ramadan? What about all the voluntary days we fast in preparation for Ramadan? What about every single year you fast Ramadan? That Allah will distance you from the hellfire. A distance of 70 years of travel. In other words, a long, long, long distance. There are many examples like this, but also in our human-to-human interaction. That someone may say, as the Prophet ﷺ told us, someone may say something that is so pleasing to Allah, but they don't realize it in the moment. It's so pleasing to Allah, Allah raises them many ranks in Jannah. Darajat in one hadith, or fil Jannah in another narration. And someone may say something that's so horrible that it would cause them to be reduced, meaning eliminated and taken down into the depths of the fire. May Allah protect us all. And this person may not have realized how bad it was, but there was something malicious about it. It's a reminder for us to think before we speak, to correct our actions with one another, to be people of justice in every single meaning of the word, every single form of adil with our families, our friends, our communities, and others. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us all. Allahumma ameen. Remember this ultimately, in one of the most mass transmitted ahadith, one of the most famous narrations, it's mutawatir. It's mentioned that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He created the creation, He wrote with Him in the book, عنده فوق العرش, that is above the throne with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, إن رحمتي تغلب غضبي. In one report, غلبت غضبي. In another, وسعت. So you find almost 30 to 40 different variations of this hadith emphasizing that ultimately Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy is where our focus is on. Ultimately, it's Allah's mercy that we access. So if you want your soul to continue to experience that mercy, seek it in the way that He told you. Seek it in the places, the environments, the actions that will bring you closer to His mercy. إِنَّ رَحْمَةَ اللَّهِ قَرِيبٌ مِنَ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. Verily, Allah's mercy is close to those who do good. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us amongst them. Allahumma ameen. What can we do with the discussion on the burning rage that many people have today? Don't stop, don't give up, persevering for justice. And as you witness the different natural disasters of this world, let it awaken you. Let it cause you to have humility, to turn to Allah, to ask for His protection. We never celebrate in general the destruction that comes upon a nation or group of people. Why? Because although it may be a punishment for some people, it's also a sign that there is something dangerous. There's some anger. There's something bad that's happening. And we should want to stop that injustice. Whether or not whoever deserves it, whoever does not, whoever is innocent, we leave the judgment to Allah. But yes, people will experience sometimes the pain and punishment of their actions in this life before the next. And it's ironic that at times, some of the most vicious, disgusting, satanic of people who celebrate the killing of innocent people are crying in tears when their palaces and mansions are burning down in this world, knowing that they're safe in some faraway land, in some hotel, in some safe environment, and they are celebrating the killing of innocent people and the burning alive of children. And they are saying, kill them all. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us wisdom. May Allah protect us from the foolishness of the foolish. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us from amongst those who continue to be awakened with every sign of this world, turning to Him and preparing for the journey in which we meet Him. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us consistency in seeking knowledge, in being with our community, in volunteering for good causes, and in learning everything that will bring us closer to His mercy. Allahumma ameen. Ask Allah for forgiveness. He's the all-forgiving, the ever-merciful. أَقُولُ قَوْلِ هَذَا وَاسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهَ لِي وَلَكُمْ فَاسْتَغْفِرُوهُ إِنَّهُ هُوَ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ.